Hey man, how are you?
I'm good. I was just saying that I was test riding a motorcycle, one of my bikes, fixing something on it, and I broke down and I didn't have my phone on me, and
oh,
it took me half an hour to walk back to my house.
So you walked back in order to make this interview with me. That's so kind.
Yeah, I knew I had my alarm set like I usually do, you know, to make sure that I'm back.
Sure.
And of course, I was like, oh, I got 10 minutes before 5 o'clock. I'm just going to go around the block.
Ah, no worries, man. You still live up in Chicago or up around Chicago?
Yeah. North Chicago area, north side.
Is there any point in like, because I used to live in the Midwest for like 6.5 years. Is there any point in, I don't know, like mid-January where you go, what the f*** am I doing in Chicago?
Damn, man. Honestly, that starts happening around October and it ends in like May. And then you go, oh, this is really nice out here for like 3 months. And then the rest of the time you're going, why don't I live in Florida?
Right. I could live anywhere. Why am I living here?
I
lived in Minnesota, man. I lived in Wisconsin. I lived in Iowa. And it was the same thing. You know, there was a point, I think, in the summer when it's like 195 degrees where you start longing for that weather. And then there comes a point where you realize you've made a terrible mistake and you should be careful what you wish for, you know?
That's right. I know. And, you know, a couple people that I know are like in Austin and my wife said to me something about Austin. I was like, it's awesome, except for like 5 months a year, it's 120 degrees.
Right. Well, that's like Seattle's the same way. You know, it's unlivable here, except for in the summertime. It's perfect. You know, you mentioned Austin. I'm going down there next week. Any recommendations of places I should hit? I've never got to spend any quality time in Austin.
You know, the whole place just sort of has a vibe. You know, everybody goes there for like the barbecue or the ribs and stuff like that. And
sure.
It's totally worth having barbecue like 4 times in 2 days.
I mean, if you're going to do it in Austin, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, and it's kind of a cool vibe. That's pretty much, you know, it's like Austin is to Texas what Chicago is to Illinois and Seattle is to Washington and
Oasis,
all that kind of stuff.
Right.
Yeah.
Like an Oasis.
Right.
When the last album cycle starts to wrap up and before you start working on the new album, North Corridor, do you get to take any time off or are you just constantly working?
Not really, honestly. And it's funny that we're talking about the North Corridor because that's what it's about. It's about, you know, writing a record when you're stuck inside because it freaking sucks outside. But no, man, Pete started writing this record, you know, on his cell phone last February. So, you know, you're touring, you're playing all the time, then you're writing, and then when you get in to do this, record the record after it's written, it takes forever. And then there's so much stuff to do after it because everything's like rush, 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 because now we have a date of release. So
sure, now you have a deadline.
Yeah, so the reality is, right now, we're doing weekend shows and things like that until July, so our vacation is actually after your show, day after your show. Yeah, so I have a month off in the summer at home, and which is amazing.
That's great.
Because I never get that. And, I mean, believe me, I'm grateful for my job. I love it. I love what I do for a living, and I love every aspect of being able to be a musician and have it be, you know, art for a living.
Sure.
But it is also nice to not have to be anywhere for a month and not have to fly anywhere.
That show's on June 4th, by the way, at Showbox Soda. There's still a few tickets left for that if you want to get on them at ASX.com. Let me ask you this. When you do get time off, does like the wife say, hey, let's go somewhere? And do you go, I've been going places. That's the last thing I want to do. I want to do nothing.
That's so true, man. That's exactly what happens. And
let's go somewhere neat. Like, I've been everywhere. I just want to be at home for a few days.
I just want to be home. And but we tried something new, which was vacationing close to home. So we drove 15 minutes to this little resort and tried that, where we went like for 2 days to this resort 15 minutes away from our house to see if that would work. And it works, man.
Oh, really? Was it like,
really
like a water park or something up there?
Exactly. It was a water park. Actually, it's called Key Lime Cove. And we went and hung out there.
Great.
There was nobody there, and you don't have to leave the resort at all. Everything's there, and it's like it really is the state of mind. Once you get into the vacation state of mind, you don't have to be far away,
and you don't have to be on a beach in Mexico. You can be somewhere near Racine, Wisconsin, and it's cool, right?
Exactly. Even though the beach in Mexico is awesome.
Sure, not to take anything away from that. You ever go up to like Wisconsin right. Dells or anything up there?
Yeah, I mean, it's been a couple of years, but we had a bunch of our family went there a couple of years ago, and we go to, we take like an extended family vacation where it's, you know, all the brothers and sisters and their kids, and we'll go to like Michigan, on Lake Michigan during the summer, sure. rent a house for the whole family, which is, you know, a riot, of course.
Being a family business, I suppose, mm-hmm. like Chevelle is, you know, working with family so closely, do you think that makes it easier or harder to do what you got to do sometimes?
I mean, it definitely makes it harder because, you know, anybody has siblings, they know that basically you know how to get to them really easy.
Man, I've said it to you before, I'm sure. If I had spent the quality time with my brothers that you spend with your brother, someone would be dead. I mean, there's no question about it. And it would probably be me, actually.
You know, Pete and I have been together, you know, been best friends. And even though you're brothers, you know that you're not always best friends. And we've been best friends for so long now, and that we're even used to staying in the same hotel rooms since when we first started out. And then you can get to your own hotel room and you're so used to staying with that other person that you end up staying with them. And so the other day I told our travel agent, I was like, hey, I need my own room. I just need a little bit of time. I've got a new baby and I just want to sleep, you know, in the hotel room. And so we go in, we check in, and I get my room and he gets his room, and he goes, huh, booked us two rooms. And he looks over at one of our crew guys and he goes, here, you can have my room. I was like, are you kidding me?
I need some space.
Yeah, but I couldn't say anything. I was like, oh, I guess that's how it goes.
I have to imagine that there are no secrets between the two of you.
Very few secrets.
Is anything sacred there anymore, or is it all on the table?
It's selective, I think, but we try to like leave our each other's wives out of it.
Sure.
That kind of helps, but yeah, there's not much sacred. I mean, really, you're just trying to, at this point, you just don't want to get on the other people's nerves. That's a big part of it.
I was just looking at your guys' tour itinerary here, and I saw this Texas Mutiny show, which looks amazing.
Yeah, doesn't it?
Texas Motor Speedway, where they can put like 100,000 people, I can imagine. Actually, online it says Texas Motor Speedway, gigantic stadium with many car races.
But that sounds like a winning combination,
yeah,
right?
So I'm looking at the lineup, and who do I see on here but the one person I think that would be probably the mayor of the Texas Motor Speedway and the guy that you have to hook up with, and that's Vinnie Paul from Hell Yeah.
Yeah, of course he's going to be there. And he's a good dude, too.
He's a great dude.
Yeah, he's tons of fun.
We've had them do a couple of shows over the years, and there's always like a barbecue. Like we had Uproar come through, and Vinny would have a barbecue at the end of the night. I can only imagine what hanging out with him in the Dallas-Fort Worth area in the summertime would be like, you know.
We used to have to try to avoid him and his brother. You just do your best to avoid him at the end of the night and be like, don't get stuck because they'll take you somewhere and you're never coming back. You're going to miss your next two shows.
Have you had some wild rides with those guys back in the day?
Yeah, I mean, not anything that, like, a lot of other people got a lot worse off than we did. But you know, when those guys traveled together and they would go, you know, they had fun. They'd go to shows together. And the first time we ever met him, we were doing, we were supporting Disturbed. And we did our show, and we came off, and they're standing there like, hey, man, take a picture with us. So we're like, okay.
Sure.
Are you kidding me? So it was pretty cool. That was the first time we met them. Then we ran into them a couple times because they would come out to our shows or to a show that somebody else was playing that was their friends, and we were on that show or whatever. So we just kind of ran into each other a little bit. But they were just super sweet guys, man, and they're totally supportive about rock music and everything that is music. So,
The new album, North Corridor, is out on July 8th. What is this? You've got a seventh album now? Seventh studio album?
Yeah, well, it's our seventh studio album for Epic, for Sony.
Wow.
So, but it's our eighth all together. We had a small record. You know, everybody has to have a bad record deal before they have a good one. So, sure.
Did you guys just re-sign with Epic, with Sony?
We did, not just, but we did, yes. We signed with them before this record. And it was weird, too, because we weren't sure what we were going to do, and we've been with them for so long. So for a while, it was all, hey, put your own record out. It's going to connect, and people love that. And then that sort of burned out really fast, that whole thing about putting your own record out, and realized that it doesn't really make a difference. So really what you're kind of hoping for is just, at the end of the day, you just want some promotion. You just want somebody to tell people, hey, you have a record out. Even if people don't buy it, they go and they download it, they do whatever, and, you know, they come to a show. And that's really where you're supported now, because nobody's, I mean, somebody from the Sony would probably shoot me for saying this, but nobody's dependent on record sales these days. You know, you don't make any money from any of that stuff.
Sure.
But you do make money being able to keep playing shows. So it keeps you being able to keep playing music.
Right.
And, you know, of course, we would still do it even if we weren't making any money. That's why we did it for so long in the first place. But it's certainly nice to have a career.
Well, but,
you know,
I mean, you're a well
everyone
established
has a horror
band.
Story. You know, they all have horror stories about major labels. We don't have that. They've been totally supportive of from the very beginning. They've let us do whatever we want. And it's like it's actually been a really good relationship and a really good experience being with a major label. And so few people can say that, you know.
A lot of major labels, as you know, aren't signing rock bands anymore. Some of them are, but some of them are just out of the rock business. You know, what does that say about the future of rock music and our industry and, you know, these young bands that are coming up?
I think it's cyclical. Everything comes back around.
Sure.
You know, people get
totally
tired
agree.
Of, you know, I mean, a couple of years ago, it was, I mean, the DJs were making, you know, $250,000, $350,000 for playing 36 hours or something.
Right.
And there's only a few guys still doing that.
Sure.
You know, everyone else is kind of falling back into sort of a more reasonable rate these days. So it is cyclical. But the thing is, man, about rock music, I will say this. There's never going to be a time when some kid isn't going to be sitting in his freaking bedroom in the North Corridor, in the Midwest, wherever, playing guitar and writing sad songs, you know?
Right. Or hearing Led Zeppelin or Nirvana for the very first time and it changing their
exactly,
life.
Exactly,
right?
Man. And that's that music, you know, just like Led Zeppelin still changing people's lives, and so is Nirvana, and so are a lot of the new bands.
Sure.
And, you know, we just have to wait for that stuff to come around. And it's funny because we look at some of the bands that I grew up with, like Soundgarden, for instance, and I didn't know that they were so, like Matt Cameron, the drummer, was so incredibly influenced by Led Zeppelin. And then when you go back and you listen to the Led Zeppelin stuff and you hear how he played, and then you can sort of hear that it's reminiscent. So what will come from, the bands nowadays? You know, my nephew is super into Bring Me the Horizon. That's
yeah, yeah.
It. We just played them the other day. It's hard for me to remember all these names, but... We just played with them, and I listened to this band, and I was like, cool, everything, you know, it's all there, and it's just influencing him in such a different way than it influenced me right now, because this is him hearing it. So I went back, and I was like, if you like this, man, you should go back and listen to Ministry and The Refused, you know,
right.
Some where those guys... I guarantee, especially Bring Me the Horizon, would be super influenced by The Refused.
Isn't that how it always happens, though? You discover a band, and then you have to find out everything that came before them, and you always end up back in the same places like Led Zeppelin and things like
exactly,
that, and Black
man.
Sabbath.
And that's what's great about music, man, that it can go so far back. And, you know, I didn't realize it for me. I went back when I was like 18, 19 years old and found out who the Minutemen were and found out what punk music was, because I was listening to Black Flag and the Dead Kennedys and all that.
Sure.
And I found out the Minutemen, and I found out what punk music can be. And that's happening right now with, you know, with kids that are into rock music. And I know rock music is still happening and people are still finding it, because we're here. Our first record came out in 99, 17 years ago.
It's amazing.
And half of our audience is under 25.
That's awesome.
So they're finding our music now, not from before. So that's great. I mean, we have new people are finding our music, and I think that just shows that there is definitely still a place for rock music.
North Corridor is out on July 8th. Chevelle's in town at Showbox Soto on June 4th. Sam, it's always good talking to you, man.
Yeah, man, absolutely. And thanks for the support, and we're looking forward to the show.
Thanks for walking back from your broken down motorcycle to talk to me.
I actually just walked back to it now, so it's sitting here all alone. The tools are spread out or underneath it, and it's, you know what, man, it's a beautiful day in Chicago, and how many days a year you get to say that.
Right.
Still a good day.
I'll see you next weekend, man.
Absolutely. Thanks so much.
Take care, brother.
Okay, you too.